I started counseling hundreds of vets. So I know there's a certain number of people who, by me doing this, by me taking this action and being public and transparent and frankly, incredibly vulnerable, I know there is a certain number of people that we've saved from suicide.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. Hey, I'm excited to have Jeremy Knopf here. He's recognized as the guy who gets people into media. He's become a recognized authority in the industry, attracting more clients, earning more money. But there's more to his backstory than just being a awesome publicist. Before that, he ran a successful digital marketing agency for nearly two decades. He was blindsided with the health crisis that nearly killed him. He spent 2 years on his deathbed while his business withered away and he burned through family savings. We're going to talk about going through that process, going through everything, and then fighting his way back to the success that he has today. So I'm excited to have him here. Jeremy, how are you?
Doing great, Neil. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thanks. Take me back to the beginning. You ran a successful business. How did you get into that industry?
So I kind of created my own path to that industry, really. I never went to college for any of this stuff. I kind of just went into a job because I taught myself how to do the things that needed to be done and landed that job. So this was actually one of the first jobs out of the Marine Corps, was a small graphic design and advertising agency. And I remember, this is how long ago it was, had the newspaper, right?
Yeah.
I used to have the classified jobs, right?
Yeah.
And so I saw this job that looked perfect. It was doing graphic design for an ad agency. The place was like a minute away from my house. The pay was great. It was like every single box that you could check was checked. Yeah. And I was putting it off. It sat on my desk for about a week because they also wanted somebody with at least a bachelor's degree and several years of experience in the field. I had neither of those things. But what I did have was a bunch of graphic design that I had done myself just to teach myself the process.
Yeah.
And so about a week goes by and I kept kind of putting it off. And girl I was dating at the time was like, well, listen, why don't you just go call them, go interview. Like, what's the worst they can say? The worst they can say is no.
Right.
I was like, but at least you know at that point. It's like, all right, you know what? Sure. So I went down there. I called them first. And so the guy, David Kretschmar, he says, well, listen, we've been interviewing for about 2 weeks now. I've got it narrowed down to three people and they're all highly qualified. He says, I'm leaving in about 20 minutes. If you want to come down here, I'll stick around. We can do an interview, but I'm just going to let you know up front, I'm probably not going to hire you because we've already got it narrowed down to these three great candidates. I was like, awesome. I'll be there in a minute, literally. So I drove over there, walked in with those old school zip disks. Remember those things?
Yep.
Yep. Walked in with a zip disk of various work that I had done. Nothing for clients. It was just projects that I had designed myself to teach myself how to design,
how to use the
software and all of this. So as we're going through, you know, first we started with just an interview where he's asking me some questions, getting to know me. Then we go and we start looking at some of this work that I've designed. And throughout the process, he kept asking me these very probing questions about why I had, you know, why is this position here like this? What's the, you know, tell me about the design, you know, tell me about the colors. What made you choose these fonts? Things like this. And after about 10 minutes of that, he says, I want to tell you something. He says, you are demonstrating a level of knowledge about the fundamentals of art and design that I don't even see in people who have a master's in fine arts degree. So from there, he ended up making a job offer. I did accept, and I worked there for several years. And then not too long after that, I ended up starting my own agency. I did have a failed business, which I was actually prior to that. I had a failed web design company back in 1999,
sure,
which then led me over here. Anyway, this gave me a great foundation. This guy was one of the smartest people I've ever met. He had been in advertising for like 40 years. And I learned a tremendous amount there. And then went and did a couple of sales type jobs after that, because I knew that was a skill that I was not great at. And that was what caused my first business to fail. Once I had some, I had improved my skills in the sales area, then I went and started my next agency, which I ran for about 2 decades. And then we had the health crisis, which you mentioned in the intro. I was basically blindsided by an autoimmune condition that nearly killed me. Spent 2 years on the deathbed. And during that time, my business went to zero. I was pretty much a ghost because I wasn't out there anymore. And, you know, as you know, in the marketing world, if you don't have current clients, current case studies, examples, things like this, you're no different than some random person on Fiverr. Right. So I had to basically get back on top very quickly, while still dealing with all of this health stuff, by the way. So what I did was I leveraged public relations. You know, I would go out and I would pitch a story to various outlets. You know, what I would do is I would start by, I would write a particular story on my website, on my blog, and then I would pitch a similar story to some of these other outlets. Hey, this is a great article. A lot of people loved it. Look at all these people that shared it. What I'd like to do is write a similar article for your news outlet.
For yours. Yep.
Yeah. So initially, I did this primarily in the search engine optimization industry, where mm-hmm. I had tons of experience, leveraged some contacts, had a lot of great friends who connected me with other contacts. So this moved up the chain pretty quickly. Then what I would do is I would say, oh, well, here's this article that we just had published in Search Engine Journal, for example. Then I would reach out to several podcasts about SEO.
Sure.
And I would say, hey, we just had this article here published. It got a ton of engagement, ton of shares. I'd love to come on the podcast and talk about this. It's something your audience would really find valuable. And that just kind of created this snowball effect. And I just kept doing that and ratcheting up into more publications, higher level publications. And then I started having people reach out to me wanting my quotes on various topics. And all of us as entrepreneurs, we sometimes get into a rut. We get into, I guess, a blind spot, right? Because you're so busy doing the thing that you don't see the opportunity. So I didn't see the huge opportunity that was here in this public relations because it was just a means to get back on top. It wasn't a thing that I saw the tremendous value in it. Eventually, a couple of friends had pointed out, they're like, look, you're really good at this stuff. Everybody else needs this stuff. You should really focus on that.
Just that. And, right.
Exactly. So we made that pivot and that's primarily what we focus on. I will say that the website is out of date and does not reflect any of this yet. We made that pivot about a year ago and that's pretty much entirely what we focus on now. And the business has scaled so much more since then. The workflow is so much smoother. The stress levels are down so much more. So it was a really good move. But because I was so in the weeds, as we are as entrepreneurs, I didn't see the opportunity in front of me. But that's kind of the journey from, you know, when I got out of the core up until now.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes. But first, a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place. Batchleads.io. Batch Leads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batch Leads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batch Leads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of lessons to take away there, especially when you're talking about landing that job to be able to really have, you know, a hobby and interest that you dove very clearly, very deep into to be able to come up with something, a portfolio of a portfolio that you put together to be able to demonstrate that you care about this. And then also the quality of work product, which was clearly recognized by somebody in the industry.
Yeah. And that's a really important aspect of this because a lot of people they're like, well, give me the job and I'll show you that I can perform.
Right.
And that's a mistake. You have to show that you could perform in order to get it. And that's the difference between the people who are truly committed to achieving something versus the ones who just, you know, want it if it's convenient.
You have to lead with value first.
Always. Right.
Yep. Absolutely. So bring me through up to the point where you had a health condition. What was going on? And how in the world did you make it through 2 years of, I mean, just from the day-to-day and the family and everything else, do you, outside of business?
Yeah. So I will be completely transparent and tell you that was some of the darkest times of my life. It was easily the most difficult, the most painful, the most emotional. And I think that's saying a lot considering some of the childhood experiences I had and some of the experiences I had in the Marine Corps. But I remember laying on the couch or laying in the bed early on in this and just sitting there like, you know, just like praying to die, basically, you know, take this, you know, I just want this pain to end. It's not that I didn't want to live. It's just that I wanted the pain to be gone. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you and I talked about this before or not, but I got to a point where I started to not think about taking my life, but thinking about that being an easy way out, right? It's not that I want to do this, but if I did, this is an easy way for the pain to stop.
Right.
And being a Marine, it probably wouldn't surprise you to know that I had a shitload of guns everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I remember just walking around the house and, you know, there's one on the bookshelf. There's one over here. There's one over there. Like everywhere I walked, I would see one. And those thoughts would pop into my mind a lot more than I was comfortable with. And so it got to a point where I was like, well, this is kind of getting problematic. So I unloaded everything. I disassembled everything. I tossed it all into a great big duffel bag like you used to see the troops carrying around back in the day. And I called a buddy of mine and I'm like, look, we don't have to be worried yet, but there may come a time when I call you and ask you to come just take this bag and store it at your house for a bit. And he's like, all right, just say the word and I'll be there. So we didn't have to go that route. But during this time, as I'm having these thoughts, was when one of the toughest Marines that I ever served with, Todd Grant, took his life. And for me, that was a real eye-opening moment because I knew how tough he was. I knew what he had endured. I knew how tough I was. I knew what I had endured. And here we are, two badasses in all rights, right? And we have these thoughts and he took action on it, unfortunately. And that was a huge turning point for me because if it can happen to us, it can happen to anyone.
Right.
And I don't know if you're aware of this. Most people are not. But we actually have an epidemic in the veterans community.
Absolutely.
Of suicide. Yeah. Right. So we're losing somewhere in the range of about 22 veterans a day to suicide. So that kind of turned into a side mission for me, right? Like, obviously I had to build the business back up, generate revenue, you know, to be able to support my family and also fund all the treatment we had to have to try and fix this thing, which we're still working on 8 years later. But the other mission was to bring awareness to this problem of veteran suicide and to let other people know that, like, because everybody thinks, they're like, oh, well, shit, I'm thinking this. Nobody else thinks this way. Nobody else feels this way. It's just me. So what I started doing was getting very vocal about what I was going through and how I was feeling about it and, you know, all of the emotions. And it just like complete raw transparency. And I have to tell you, it was fucking awkward. It was painful. It was embarrassing. But as time went on, it felt normal to do that. And initially, you know, I was getting the message out there, but it was also a cathartic thing for me, but I didn't know if it was really helping anyone. And then people started reaching out and they're like, oh my God, like I read your post or I watched this video or, you know, I heard something that you said to somebody and like it completely, like it really changed my mind on this thing. And like, it gave me like, you know, new hope and, you know, things like this. And I started getting DMs and voicemails and messages all the time. And so I started seeing the impact, which then made me kind of double down on that because like, I know that I'm having an impact. I know that I'm helping these people who are struggling. And pretty soon my cell phone number just started getting passed around to anyone who was struggling. And pretty much everyone in my circle knew that they could give my number to anyone. And, you know, I would help them through what they were going through. And I don't have an exact number, but I do know a certain number, which I won't ever say what that number is, but I do know a certain number of people that by me doing this, it pulled them back from suicide. And I know that because they told me, right? These are people who were literally on the brink and this was their last shot. And somebody connected them to me and we talked, and sometimes it was a phone call. Sometimes it was dozens of phone calls. It just depended on, you know, what their situation was and what they were going through and you know, what they needed. But I started counseling hundreds of vets. And so I know there's a certain number of people who, by me doing this, by me taking this action and being public and transparent and frankly, incredibly vulnerable, I know there is a certain number of people that we've saved from suicide. But there's also an undetermined number of people out there, because I'm constantly getting messages from people who are like, I've been following your stuff and it's like got me through XYZ. I was going through this, you know, dark period, and, you know, reading your posts or watching your videos like has really helped me. So the ripple effect has been tremendous. Right. And I think this is something that all of us really should be doing, because a lot of people, they think that they're the only one that feels or thinks the way that they do. By getting out there and sharing that message, you're actually helping a lot of people and also helping yourself, because by vocalizing this, it helps you in a number of ways.
You're absolutely, what's mentionable is manageable. And so by vocalizing it, it brings it, you know, we can bring it out of the dark, right? Because so much of this is shunned away. You don't talk about this. And especially when one gets into their own thoughts, you know, it oftentimes either ends up in a downward spiral, upward spiral. If there's trajectory one way or the other, it typically continues that way. And so without
a big problem, I'm sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, this is an especially big problem for us as men, because
no doubt
men don't typically express any kind of vulnerability. They don't ask for help. It's just, we men just put more on
men,
our shoulders.
Men don't talk about their feelings.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, there's some merit to that. Like there's a line, right? Like we don't want to go too far in the other direction either.
Correct.
But we do need to have those strong relationships with, you know, other men.
Correct.
We need to be able to have some people that we can talk to about these things, you know, whether it's a therapist, whether it's a personal friend, you know, family member, something. But this is something that I think we as men, frankly, suck at.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Historically, and even to this day, you know, men and women get put in categories of what they're supposed to be like. And so oftentimes, you know, the men and the guys you see on TV, right? Especially the days of old, macho, tough guys, Rocky, right? It's just,
right, absolutely.
And so when those become influences for what it is that who you are, you're right. We often fall into this category and try to live up to a standard that we think one should be. And it doesn't always serve us.
Absolutely. I agree.
What was it that got you through it?
I honestly think that a large portion of that, maybe most of that, was that mission, right? Because initially, as I'm sharing this, you know, my thoughts, my emotions, my everything around this thing, it was just me. But then as I started to learn that other people were kind of following this and using this as inspiration, well, how the hell can I check out now? Right. Like there's all these people who are here because I'm here. Like if I didn't exist, they would be gone at this point. So I don't have the choice to check out. So that was a really big driving force. And I think this is an important thing, not just in getting through adversity, but just in achieving anything of significance. You have to have a mission that's bigger than yourself. Right. You have to have a driving force. And it's not a matter of pushing through. It's a matter of being pulled through. If you have a mission, just like in the Marine Corps, right? Like, let's say you've got on a giant pack and you're carrying, and you've seen these, yep. The crazy amount of stuff we carry back in the day. And let's say you're, you know, hauling ass up this mountain to go, you know, reinforce your buddies who are in a firefight up here. Like, you're not going to be like, oh man, I'm tired. I'm going to take a break and let's deal with this tomorrow. No, like you have a mission that's more important than how you feel. And so it's the same principle here. You have to have something that matters to you more than, you know, your comfort and your feelings.
That can be a number of things, can it not? I mean, that could be your family. Absolutely. Or a spouse, a child, or what, something that's greater, just greater than you.
Absolutely. All of the above. And I think it's a good idea to have a number of things like that, yeah. A number of missions, right? Like you may have a philanthropic mission.
Yes.
You may have a mission to support and raise a good family. You may have a mission to provide value in the world through your company. Like, all of these could be independent and then kind of come together to serve you and serve the world. And that will pull you through these challenges.
Yeah. What was more challenging, the health, getting back on your feet, if you will, and getting through the health piece, or rebuilding the business?
It was absolutely the health. Yeah. The business, when I got back into it, I rebuilt that business in record time. We got back up to beyond previous year's revenue inside of 12 months.
Wow.
So yeah, so right out of the gate, we just came out crushing it. The hardest part for me was overcoming the physical and emotional challenges related to the health thing. So in my case, what I was dealing with was constant excruciating pain from head to toe, 24/7. And it was a level of pain. So here's a great example. I was in a hospital for kidney stones. You ever had a kidney stone before, Neil?
No.
Okay. But, I have heard women compare it to childbirth.
I have too.
Yeah. So I was in the hospital for a kidney stone, and it was a fairly large one. I remember they gave me 2 doses of morphine, which pretty much eliminated the kidney stone pain almost entirely. It didn't even take the edge off this other pain that I have in basically every cell of my body 24/7. So that wears on you emotionally. And of course, that pain is caused by inflammation. So it's causing actual physical damage. But then there's also the emotional component of that. And then also that affects other things. So for example, extended pain, chronic pain, will actually burn off your dopamine levels. Well, that affects your mood. So now that starts to affect your mental health. It's not just the pain. From an emotional perspective, it also chemically affects your mood. So that was a really difficult thing to deal with, because I now had to figure out how to A, manage the pain and my emotional state in relation to that, but also that screwed with my brain as far as cognitive abilities, memory, things like that. So this was an incredibly difficult time. And we tried all kinds of things to try and address this. I mean, even including, I remember for a few weeks, I was hauling my laptop and my notebook and all my stuff down to my doctor's office, where they had a hyperbaric chamber. Have you ever seen one of those?
No.
Okay. So it's a little tube. Michael Jackson used to sleep in one back in the day.
Okay.
I would say it's probably about 3 feet tall and, you know, about the length of a body. Okay. And basically you get inside of this thing and they zip it closed. It's a tube. It's kind of like a semi-rigid tube. Yeah. What they do is they pressurize it with oxygen, and it's a very high concentration of oxygen, and the atmospheric pressure in there is heavier than it is in, you know, if you're just out here the regular world. So I was hauling everything into this tube, which of course got hot as hell. So I'm in here with the laptop and the notes and, you know, I'm working from this thing for like 6 hours a day. So there was all of these things, a lot of trial and error, trying various medications, various treatment protocols, all kinds of things. And so kind of going through that, we tried this, it didn't work. We tried this, it made things worse. And it was just constant stream of that. And for me, that side of things was far more difficult than any of the business stuff.
Yeah. Wow. It's, I couldn't imagine going through what you've gone through.
I hope you never have to find an option.
How do you manage it today?
Well, I mean, it comes down to having that mission. That's a core component of it.
Yeah.
The other side of it is I just kind of sometimes just check my emotion, right? Like, how I feel doesn't really matter in the big picture, right? Like, it does, but it doesn't. So I don't have to feel good to go get on stage and speak. I don't have to feel good to go and pitch a client's story to the media.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'd be a lot more effective at it if I was pain-free, but we play the hand that we're dealt, not the hand we wish we had. So it's just a matter of having that discipline and having that mission and doing what you have to do, regardless of how you feel. There was a great book. Have you ever heard of, what is the guy's name? Now I'm drawing a blank. He was Michael Jordan's trainer.
About? Yes, I do. I can't place a name, but yes.
His last name is something with a G, I think. Anyway, he had a great book called Relentless. And he talks about what some of these athletes, Michael Jordan primarily, because he was his personal trainer.
Yeah,
for forever. That was an amazing book, by the way. But he also talks a little bit about Kobe and some of the other guys. I'm not a big sports fan, so I don't really remember a lot of the other names. Yeah. But some of the stuff that these guys would go through, it was just insane. And I think this is a good perspective in that we look at these people who are doing something. Like, everyone looks at me and they're like, I have no idea you were even sick. I was like, yeah, because like, what's the value in like, you know, what am I gonna go up there and whine about it? There's no point in that. You just do what you have to do because you have that mission. So same deal here is, you know, everyone looks at these people and they think, oh, well, hey, you know, Elon Musk, everything must be easy for him. He's super rich. Everything's, right. You know, handed to him. It's not. He's busting his ass. He's working right. his fingers to the bone.
Right.
Michael Jordan, they see these great big graceful shots.
Yeah.
You know, he's flying through the air. But what they don't see is all that work that went on behind Correct. The scenes to get there. And so it's a matter of knowing and just accepting the fact that there's going to be a lot of difficult, uncomfortable, awkward, painful, whatever things that you're going to have to do to get from point A to point B. And when you can recognize and accept that, it makes it a lot more tolerable. You know, we used to have a phrase in the Marine Corps called embrace the suck.
Mm.
So, you know, it's going to suck. Just embrace it. Yeah. You know, you're out there in some swamp laying down on your belly, sitting in, you know, a position for an ambush, and it's cold. And you're in the water, so you're all soaking wet. You got mosquitoes chewing you up everywhere they can find a spot of skin. And you haven't slept in 3 days. And you've got to lie down here and wait for bad guys to come. You just know it's going to suck. So you just have to be ready for that and roll with it.
Yeah. Bring me current to the current business. Somebody comes to you. And who's an ideal client? I know you work with a lot of real estate folks. So,
yeah.
Somebody comes in, you know, the ideal client for you looks like what, and what do you do for them?
Yeah. So the ideal client is somebody who is an expert at what they do. We typically work with professional services types of businesses. So, you know, like you mentioned, a lot of people in the real estate industry, financial people, lawyers, doctors, things like that. They are an expert at what they do. They're willing to step outside of their comfort zone, right? Because once you start getting in the media, now you're going to have to start getting on stage. You're going to have to start being interviewed. You might have to do some things on the fly, things like that. So they have to be willing to step outside of their comfort zone. And they have to recognize that while they're an expert at what they do, they're not an expert at this. So they have to be willing to listen to what we say, because there's going to be things we're going to say that are going to sound counterintuitive. They're going to sound maybe sometimes stupid if you're not from that industry. Perfect example of this, we had a client that we had to fire recently.
Hmm.
He, on his own, went out and submitted a press release to announce that he had been accepted into the Forbes Council. Now, you and I both know that there's not a particularly high bar of entry for that. Like, if you can pay the fee, you can write for Forbes.
Right.
So all you have to have is a pulse, basically.
Right.
So he went out and announced that in a press release. Initially, he told me he was going to do it. I told him not to. He then went behind my back and did it. Now, the problem with this is not that he's doing something on his own, although that is a problem, but it's that when a journalist sees that, if they see that you've put out a press release announcing that you're accepted into something that literally anyone can get accepted into, that immediately damages your credibility. But the problem didn't end there. He then went ahead, and when you submit a press release, it gets syndicated to a number of other news outlets. So he then took the logos of all of those news outlets and put them on his social media banners saying, as featured in blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't featured in any of
those.
It was just a syndicated press release. So he didn't tell me about any of this. And I had specifically told him not to do that because of the credibility damage. Well, next thing you know, we're on an interview on Zoom where he is being interviewed by a reporter at Bankrate. Huge financial publication.
That's right.
Well, she goes and she looks him up online and she finds his social media profiles. And she says, well, I see that you were featured in here and here and here. She's like, do you have links to these that I can kind of get some background material, some primer on, you know, what you've talked about before? And so of course he starts stuttering and stammering. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, why don't we do this? Why don't we just go ahead and end the call and I'll circle back with you and I'll find out what's going on here. And she's like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. As a result, he completely burned that opportunity. Right. He was not going to be featured. He was blacklisted in that outlet and six others. So that's a case of when somebody thinks that they know better, it creates big problems. So they have to be willing to really listen to what we say, because when we say do this or don't do that, there's a reason behind it.
Well, it's fair to say credibility matters. Yes. Absolutely. All right. So if we can all agree that credibility matters, it would make sense to me that when adding credibility to your world and going into the PR space, that you bring a professional on and you listen to the direction that they provide you. Because what looks credible to you or impressive to you may not be credible to those who operate in this world.
Exactly.
When a journalist has to put their name on something, they need to know that who they interviewed is indeed credible.
Yeah. And that's why it's such a big deal. I mean, look, I'm a big proponent of integrity across the board. But from an entrepreneur's perspective, think about it like this. If you're disingenuous and you misrepresent yourself, not only are you going to hurt yourself, you're also going to hurt that journalist, because if that gets found out about, they could potentially be fired for that. The outlet could potentially blacklist you. You know, like I mentioned, that happened with him. Yeah. There was another guy. Did you and I ever talk about Hatch?
No, but I saw your post the other day.
Yeah. So you see the damage there. This guy, so for your audience, the short version is he invented this persona where he claimed that he was the special forces guy who deployed all over the world. You know, he claimed that he was doing $60 million a year in revenue and he had all these companies. Literally every bit of it turned out to be false. And as a result, right now, not only has he been blacklisted from pretty much every major media outlet, he's also in the process of being sued by about a dozen people, and there's more coming. And the government is coming after him as well. So that integrity, like this is where most people get it wrong. They're like, oh, well, I'm just going to make this one little exaggeration. I'll puff this up a little bit. It'll be fine. Nobody will notice. And then once I get everything where I want it to be, then I'll tell the truth. Well, that's how it always starts.
Correct.
And then your lies just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the next thing you know, you're telling people you've got a helipad on your house. So it just gets ridiculous. That was actually a claim that he made. So it always starts off relatively innocently enough,
right?
But it always grows.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. I've got a question for you. Are you enjoying the podcast? I sure hope you are. And if you are, may I ask you a personal favor? Would you mind going to iTunes and leaving a written review and a 5-star review? If you do that, send me a screenshot to my office. I want to send you back a list as a thank you. It's a list of the top 20 best lists to market to in order to find motivated sellers. This list has been curated by my office over years of direct marketing to sellers. This will either shortcut your path to finding the best list to start marketing to, or it's sure to add to what's already working. You can send that screenshot of your review to marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's marketing@realgritpodcast.com.
Yep, that's exactly right.
So what I hear you say is you work with professionals, doctors, lawyers, real estate folks, professionals who want to grow their business, want to expand their business, want to create additional interest for whatever it is that they do. And you do that through the outlets of media, through PR.
Yes. There's an interesting kind of twist to this. So yes, we absolutely do that. Yeah. But I have a bigger picture in this. And this is actually something that we dig into a lot deeper in the book that I have coming out, which you and I have talked about before,
yes,
the Public Relations Manifesto. Yeah. But the general premise of this is it's not just about getting out there and growing the business and, you know, achieving all of the goals and the accolades and all of that stuff, but it's a matter of doing that so that you can contribute more value into the world, right? Like you have a bigger mission,
right?
That publicity helps you grow your business so that you can serve more people, so that you can bring more value to the world, right? You're employing more people, you're hiring more vendors and contractors and things like this. You're doing something for other people in some way and working to have a more profound positive impact on the world. It's not just about that revenue. It's not just about that fame, any of that stuff. It's the bigger picture. It's like, what can we do in the world to make it a better place?
That's exactly right. It's about the contribution you make. Right.
Absolutely.
You're totally right. It's about, and when I think when people, often people find that, you know, when you learn and you earn and you do more at some point, more is not enough. You need to, it becomes the impact that you make.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, here, let's do this great example. Yeah. So a guy you and I both know quite well, Matt Andrews, right?
Great guy.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he was a real estate investor, made a ton of money, like mind-blowing amount of money, right. Then built that real estate mastermind group that we're in. Were you at the last physical in-person meeting?
Yep.
Okay. So you remember seeing Frank come back in the back, Frank McKinney.
Yes.
And they're all coming together. And we've got basically this entire room where Matt's bringing the room together to basically build villages in Haiti. These people funded several villages. And so that's a perfect example. Is he's not just doing this just to make money.
Nope.
He's serving a bigger purpose, and he's bringing all of these people through these relationships that he's built and all of the money that's been generated from the result of the deals that, that take place in that room. Yeah. And then they're bringing it into a bigger purpose. It's not just about the money.
Yeah. It's tremendous contribution. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun to be able to incorporate that in your business, right?
Absolutely.
And help provide a bigger why for what's going on. Yeah. Let's do this. I want to move into the final segment, what I call four for impact.
Four for impact.
Your favorite quote, failure catches the weak when they put today's comfort over tomorrow's goals. You wrote it. At what point was, you know, what's the genesis of that quote for you?
So that quote has actually evolved over the years. Yeah. I first wrote that while I was on duty on the USS Wasp, I think it was, on a deployment to Mediterranean back in 1998, I think it was. Originally, it was failure catches the weak when they stop to rest. But then as time went on, I kind of modified it because really, we have to rest. We can't just go nonstop.
Yeah.
But it's evolved into a bigger picture. Mm-hmm. It's more about, how do I explain it? It's more about where most people go wrong is they're afraid to do a thing because maybe it's going to be embarrassing, or they might fail, or it's going to be an uncomfortable conversation, or it's going to be a lot of work. So they stay in that comfort zone.
Yeah.
And because they do that, because they're not willing to step out of that comfort zone, they never really achieve what they could. So that's the basic premise, is not to put your comfort over your goals.
Yeah, that's a good point, because otherwise we would never get there. Growth comes on the other side of uncomfortable.
Yes.
If you really want to grow, you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
And does that not get easier?
No,
it gets easier by doing it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think it gets easier.
I don't know.
Maybe the level of discomfort doesn't get easier, but being comfortable, uncomfortable, that piece, just like it's a muscle memory practically.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once you get into that, that becomes a habit, right?
Habit.
You get used to, you know, so it's just a matter of making that a habit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Tell me, what do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
So I think knowledge is a small part of that, but I believe mindset is a much larger component of that. Mm-hmm. So I remember doing a strategy session a while back with a good friend of mine, Trey Taylor, who I think you've met.
I have.
And he said something that it wasn't a particularly profound statement, but it just resonated with me. And it was just like it was a flippant comment. It was like, he was talking about a whole bunch of things, and it was like a small part of a small part of a sentence.
Yeah.
And it was basically something about like, you'll only make as much as you feel you deserve.
Yep.
And it was just like, well, yeah, no shit. But also at the same time, wow. Like, yeah, like that makes perfect sense.
Correct.
And I think that's where a lot of it comes from, is we get these mindset issues where for whatever reason, we either we're too scared to go after that next level, or we don't feel like we deserve it, or, you know, any number of other mental issues around that. And I think that's where most people go wrong, is they have this mindset issue, and that is what holds them back, whether it's fear, whether it's they don't feel they deserve it, or whether it's a scarcity mindset. The mindset really plays the biggest role, in my opinion.
Yeah, the ceiling is what you set for yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
I would have to say my family, veterans, freedom. I'm a big proponent of freedom.
Amen to that.
Yeah. And then obviously business. Like I mean, as much as this is difficult work, and I definitely put a lot of hours in, I also love it, right? Like some people could call me a workaholic, but it's not like I'm not sitting there dreading the time that I'm spending. No. So I would certainly put my business in that category as well.
Yeah, yeah. We probably touched on this, but I'm gonna ask the last question anyway. What's your favorite way to make an impact on the community?
I would say my favorite way to make an impact is empowering others to go forward with their mission. whether that's like on the veteran side or people who are struggling, whatever, and kind of getting them back into the game, or whether that's like on the business PR side, taking somebody who's great at what they do, but they just don't have the recognition and the authority, and elevating them to that. So now they have a greater impact. Yeah. So those are two key components to that. And then, you know, I'm just a natural connector. I also like to, you know, if I know somebody has a need and I know somebody who can fill that need, I will connect the two of them.
You're great at that.
Yeah. I think when you and I first talked, I think I probably sent you about, half a dozen to a dozen introductions right after that. So, absolutely. Yeah.
I appreciate you taking the time and to share your story. It's, we all have our own stories, and yours is extraordinarily unique.
Thank you.
You've been faced with things that most people couldn't even fathom. Most people will never face in their life. And to have the ability to go there, to go through it, and then figure your way out through it and make tremendous impact in the community of those who serve. And I appreciate your service, and you're right. We have a tremendous, we've got an epidemic of young men, primarily men, who come back and, you know, they don't know how to, we're not here for them as a country. And what you're doing independently is tremendous. And I applaud what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. For that said, for those who want to connect with you, they want to find you, they want to follow you, where can they do so? How can they do it?
I am very easy to find. If you just Google my name, I will pop up like all over the place.
Yeah.
Obviously with what I do, that's a thing that we've set up. So yeah, if you just Google me, you can find all of my social channels, my websites, all of that. So I'm easy to get in touch with.
Perfect. Well, thanks a ton for taking the time to connect there. I look forward to seeing you in person again.
My pleasure. And thanks for having me on. It's been a blast.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, for everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time.
If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.